Now we're holding on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shnei Kadorin, if you have two potters, show you Mahalkin Zach or Zach, who are walking one behind the other. So each one is carrying a pile of pots and walking in Rosh Hashanah. The Nithkal Rishon, the first one tripped and fell. The first one tripped and fell. The Nithkal Sheni Berishon. And then the second one tripped over the first one. Then the din is, the Mishnah says, Harishin Chayev, the Nizke Sheni, the first one, the one in front, is Chayev for the Nizokin of the other one. And now we're going to be dealing in the Gemara in detail to what kind of Nizokin is he Chayev for, and what are the circumstances exactly. So the Gemara starts off by saying, Omer Rav Yechanan, loy tema masnisin Rameyuhi, don't think, says Rav Yechanan, that our Mishnah is only according to the mayor, where he says, as we've learned earlier in the Perek, that any time a person trips, we consider him to be Pesheya because he should have been more careful, and therefore he can be Chayev for other people's damages that are caused by him falling and his Kalim falling and things. So don't think, says Rabbi Yechanan, that the Mishnah is only according to that opinion, in which case that would not necessarily be the final halacha, because we have the other opinion that says that Nikolav Pesheya, who, as we've learned, Ella says Rabbi Yechanan, rather, afilu v'rabbanan, the Amri Onus, who will potter, even according to the Chachamim, who say that a person who is nitkal when he trips, and therefore we had the other day, for example, he breaks his jug and water spills and there are pieces of earthenware on the ground, etc. So we said that they would say he's potter because it was an onus in the first place that he fell, but in this case it would be different. Hocha chayev, in this case, Rabbi Yechanan says, even the Chachamim would agree that he's chayev, shahoy lo lamed v'loy omad, because he could have stood up, and he didn't. Now we're talking about, obviously, there was enough time for him to stand up. So yes, he tripped, but now there was enough time before the second guy came by for him to get up, and And if he didn't do that, then therefore he can be responsible for the fact that he's lying there and the other guy tripped over him and broke his pots. So that's the point of Rabbi Yechanan. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, Afilu Tema, Lo Hoy Lo Lamed. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, actually, you could say that even if he didn't have enough time to stand up, Hoy Lo La has here, Vloy His here. Still, he could have warned the other guy, and he could have yelled out to the other guy, wait, I fell, hold back, and he didn't, and therefore that says Rav Nachman Yitzchok, that's enough reason to be Mechayev him. V'Rav Yechanan Amar, now what does Rabbi Yechanan answer back to that? He says, given the lohoy lo lamod, since he wasn't able to stand, since he didn't have enough time to stand, lohoy lo lahaz here, then we don't expect him to have enough. We don't expect him to have enough time or enough presence of mind to warn the other guy to deturred, because he's distracted. He's hurt. He's whatever exactly, you know. So you don't expect him to be yelling out a warning at a time like that, says Rabbi Yechanan. Therefore, so if there was enough time for him to get up and he didn't, then you can be mechayev him. If there wasn't, even though in theory he could have warned, then Rabbi Yechanan says that doesn't matter. Whereas Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok saying that does matter, and therefore the fact if he had time to warn, then he can be mechayev. Then he can be chayev for the other guys damages and injuries and things. Now the Gemara is going to go on to discuss this point. An interesting question is who the halacha is like. Most of the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, and in that case, then it doesn't matter whether he had time to warn. Just we go swiftly whether he had the time to stand up or not. On the other hand, the Rosh at the Rif paskin that way. So do a bunch of other Rishonim. The Rosh asks on that that you have a couple of reasons to say. That halacha should maybe be like Rav Nachman Yitzchok. First of all, Rav Nachman Yitzchok is later, and we have a rule from Abaya and Rava's times and on, where Rav Nachman Yitzchok was a Talmud of Rava, then usually the halacha is kebasroi, the halacha is usually like the later Amora, because he knows what the earlier one said and still argues with it. And also when the Gemara is going to continue now to explain this Mishnah and the following Mishnayos appointed of Yechanan, then it's going to be a bit of a doicha. So therefore, the Rosh says, no, the halacha should be like Rav Nachman Yitzchok, that even if he just had time to warn and he didn't, then that's already enough to hold him liable. In Shulchan Aruch, that the Mechaber brings like most of the Rishonim, and the Ramah brings the Rosh's opinion. The Smeh actually points out that now the Gemara is going to go on to talk about a case where a person is carrying a beam in Rosh Hashanah and somebody else behind him is carrying a barrel and one crashes into the other. So here the Ramah is bringing from the Rosh and saying that if you just had time to warn, then that's enough to be mechayev you. Earlier in Shulchan Aruch, when it brings this din that the Gemara is going to bring now about the person carrying this beam and the other guy crashes into him, then the Gemara is going to make a different distinction, and that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. And then the Sneh answers that when a person is carrying a beam, he's more involved with it. He has even less presence of mind. At least if he tripped, he should have some presence of mind to tell other people to stop and then not trip over him. Whereas when he's carrying a beam and he's really sweating under it, then the Sneh says, then there's even less reason to say that that he should have to warn other people behind him. And therefore, the Gemara is going to make a different distinction over here. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's see our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. The next Mishnah, on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, says, Hoya Bal Koira Rishon or Bal Chobis Achron. You have a case where a person is carrying a beam in Rosh Hasharabim, and so he's walking ahead, or Bal Chobis Achron, somebody else carrying a barrel, an earthenware barrel, is walking behind him. Nishbara Chobis Bakoda Potter. So now, if the one who's carrying the barrel walked faster and he ended up banging into the beam, then the owner of the beam is Potter, because that's not his fault. The other guy was walking too fast. He should have paid attention. But the Mishnah continues, Vim Omad Bal Koda Chayim. If the one who's carrying the beam stopped in the middle of the street, then he's chayev, because now the other guy banged into him without warning. So my lav shalom lakatif. Shouldn't we assume that the Mishnah means even where he stood to adjust his load, so it's starting to fall off or whatever, it's uncomfortable, so he stops a minute to adjust it, and that's a normal thing for him to do in the middle of the street. So it's not considered a pshia, and v'katani chayev, and yet the Mishnah seems to be saying as a blanket statement that he's chayev. Isn't that the Havalei Lahazir? So wouldn't that be like Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, he should have called out a warning to the other guy? Because yes, he might be busy adjusting his load, but maybe in fact he should be calling out a warning and telling him that I stopped. In fact, Tosfos points out, by the way, it's not even necessarily like the other guy can easily get around him. At the end of the sugya on Omud Beis, we're going to talk about that the case of our Mishnah, when we're talking about that he tripped and fell. One of the possibilities the Gemara is going to bring up over there is he's literally lying across the whole width of the road. So over here also, Tosfos says when he's carrying a beam and then adjusting it on his shoulders, he may well temporarily block the entire width of the Rosh Hasharabim. So that's what the Gemara is asking. On the face of it, then he should be calling out a warning, and that's why the Mishnah is saying that's why if the other guy bangs into him and breaks his barrel, then he's chayav, because he should have at least called out a warning. So that would be according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok. How does that fit according to Rav Yochanan? Where Rav Yochanan is saying that he's too busy because he fell, or in this case because he's adjusting his load, and therefore he doesn't have the presence of mind to warn. So again, in the end, the Smer says, based on the fact that in Shulchan Aruch it brings in connection with this case where one person is walking with a beam and the other one with a barrel, and we say that he's chayev, depending what purpose he stopped for, as the Gemara is going to make that distinction, fine, because in the end, we're going to say that when a person is adjusting his load, he has less presence of mind to warn than when he's lying on the ground. But right now, the Gemara doesn't realize that distinction yet. Anyway, so the answer is like Shomav Lafush. No, the answer is that you could say that in the next Mishnah, it's talking about where he stopped to rest, which is not a normal thing to do in Rosh Hasharabim. If you're tired of carrying the beam, go off to the side and rest over there. Don't stop in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim. Or Rabbi Hananel says that in that case, sure, he has the presence of mind to warn the other guy. Anyway. So therefore, you could say that Rabbi Yochanan would say the next Mishnah is in fact talking about where he stopped to rest. And then if he doesn't, then the fact that he stopped to rest, which is considered an unusual thing, then he's chayav for the other guy, because he's chayav for the other guy because he did something unusual in Rosh Hasharabim. But when he fell, which he couldn't have helped it, or when he's stopping to adjust the load, then Rabbi Yochanan would say that you don't expect him to warn the other guy. So the Gemara says, Avo Omad Lakatif Mai Potter. So you're telling me that what? If he stops to adjust the burden, then Rabbi Yochanan would say he's Potter. ad toni sefer. Well, in that case, since the considering that the sefer of that Mishnah continues, the im omolo lebal chovis amoid, if he called out to the one who's carrying the barrel, stop, potter, then he's potter because he gave warning. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so according to Rabbi Nachman the Yitzchak, that makes perfect sense because we're saying when he didn't warn, then he's chayev. If he warned, he's potter. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't make a distinction between warning and not, he makes a distinction between whether he could have stood up or whether he could have stood up or whether he and didn't, or whether, in other words, whether he's doing something usual or not. Well, then in that case, why does the Mishnah have to draw a distinction between whether he called out a warning or not? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah could have made the distinction within that first case itself. Even when he stands, he's not necessarily chayev if he didn't call out a warning. When he stands there to rest, then you can be machayev him for the other guy's damages. But if he stopped there to adjust his burden, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, we just said he would be potter. So the Mishnah should be making that distinction without even bringing in the case of him warning or not. If Omad Lakatif, which is a perfectly normal thing to do in Rosh Hashanah, and even like Tosva says, to block the entire width of Rosh Hashanah with his beam as he's trying to adjust it, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah should be saying he's potter. The fact that it doesn't, the fact that the Mishnah is saying that any time he stops, he's chayev unless he warns, that seems to fit better according to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak. And the answer is no. Hokamash Malon, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can say what the Mishnah wants to inform us, that Afa Gavda Omud Lofush, even if he stood to rest, which is a careless thing to do in Rosh Hashanah, what are you doing stopping in the middle of Rosh Hashanah to rest? So you could argue that alone could make him chayim. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying there's a kula in it. Tika Omalo Labal Chavis Amud, if he tells the one who's carrying the barrel, stop, then potter, then he would be potter. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan would say, it's true the right thing for him to do would be in our Mishnah to stand up and in the next Mishnah to move off to the side if he wants to rest. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that if he calls out a warning to the other guy, then that's enough to patter him. The question is, if he didn't call out a warning, can we be mechayev him on those grounds? Rabbi Yochanan will say it depends whether he's distracted and busy with his own circumstances or not because he fell and now he's hurt. Or because he's adjusting his burden, and that takes a lot of concentration. So that next Mishnah is not a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring from a Braisa. A Braisa says Hakadorin v'Hazagogin shoyim halchin zeachazeh. If potters or glaziers, people who are dealing with glass kalim, which also like earthenware pots, are very fragile, shoyim halchin zeachazeh, they're walking one behind the other. There is, by the way, a very interesting explanation from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yohanesen, who says zagogin, he relates it to the word zug, meaning people who are carrying heavy burdens and carry a bell to ring to warn people that they're coming. But the majority, the mainstream understanding is that zagogin is Moloshin zechuchis, and it means glaziers, people who deal with glass kalim. Anyway, shohim mahalkin zachazeh, they're walking one behind the other in the street. Nitalarishan Minafal. Now the first one tripped and fell. Vinitalasheni Barishan, and then the second one tripped over the first one. Vashlishi Vasheni, and the third one tripped over the second one. So you have a whole pile up over here. So then the din is, the Braisa says, Rishan Chayev Vinizke Sheni, Vasheni Chayev Vinizke Shlishi. The first one is going to be chayev for the nizokin that were called to the second one, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon what kind of nizokin is he chayev for. V'sheni chayev v'nizkei shlishi, and similarly the second one is chayev for the nizokin of the third one. On the face of it, because he could have gotten up. The im machnas rishen naflu, if they all fell because of the first one. Rishon chayev tashlumei kulam, Rishon chayev v'nizkei kulam. Then the first one is going to be chayev in the nizakin for all of them. At the end of the sugya, the Gemara is going to talk about how is that all of them tripped. I mean, ultimately, the first one, of course, is the one who precipitated the whole thing because he tripped, and then the second one over him, and the third one over the second one, etc. But when the Braisa is saying over here, all of them tripped over the first one, implies exactly that. It implies that both the second and the third are equally were caused by the first one, and later on Omid Beis, before the next Mishnah, the Gemara is going to deal with how exactly that happened. Anyway, so then Rishon Chayiv v'Nizkei Kulam, then the first one is Chayiv and the Nizokin of all of them. Now, the Braisa continues, if they warned one another, if after the first one fell, he called out a warning to the second one to stop, and the second one didn't pay attention and tripped over him anyway, and similarly, if the second one warned the third one, etc., Turin, well, then they're Potter. My lav, shalai hai lahan lamai. Shouldn't we assume that the Braisa means where they didn't have enough time to stand up, and the Braisa is saying that they still should be warning, and if they don't warn, then they can be chayav. So again, that works nicely according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, but it's a question on Rav Yochanan, where Rav Yochanan says it doesn't really matter. Fine, Rav Yochanan is going to say, if you warn, then the next Mishnah is telling us you're potter, fine. But this Braisa is saying over here that, on the face of it, this Braisa is saying that since the Braisa is not distinguishing how much time they had, it sounds like it doesn't matter whether it sounds like the Braisa is saying, even if they didn't have enough time to stand up, then still they're expected to warn, and if not, then they're going to be chayav. So then that doesn't fit according to Rav Yochanan. And the answer is loy. No, because you could say the Braisa means shohoyla and lamed. It means they had enough time to stand up. And then, if they didn't stand up, or at least give a warning, then they're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, Ava loy hori lahem lamed my potter. So you're telling me what? If they didn't have enough time to stand up, then each of them is going to be potter. E hochi. Again, we can ask the same question on this Braisa as we just asked on the Mishnah, on the next Mishnah. Ad the Tony Sefer, instead of the Braisa continuing with a different case in the Sefer, im his zero zeh zeh potter, that if they warned one another, then each one who warned is going to be potter. Again, literally, the listening bidida. He should be able, the Braisa should have made a distinction within the first case itself. Forget about warning and say, b'medbar mum shahil and lamud, when are we talking about that? That each one is chayev for the next one who trips over him, is when they could have stood up. But if they didn't have enough time to stand up, Turin, then according to Rav Yochanan, they would be potter, even though they didn't warn, because again, once they're too distracted and too busy trying to get themselves up, then we don't expect them to warn either. So the Braisa should have made that distinction. And the answer is, like we said with the Mishnah, Hokamash Malon, the Braisa is telling us a similar chiddush to the next Mishnah, even though they would have had time to stand up, and they should have, nevertheless, if he didn't stand up, but still, he's here with Zaseh, but at least he warned the other guy, Turin, then he can still be Potter, because at least he did that. So therefore, the Braisa would be telling us basically the same thing as the next Mishnah. The difference is the next Mishnah is talking about where a person, where nobody fell, he just stopped to adjust his burden or to rest, versus the Braisa is talking about a case more similar to our Mishnah where people are tripping and falling. But either way, you can find for both the Mishnah and the Braisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that they're not said, that the reason why they're drawing a distinction between as far as warning is because they're saying even if he acted in a careless way to trip in the first place and not get up or to stop in Rosh Hashanah just to rest, even so he can be potter by warning. But not to say, says Rabbi Yochanan, that if he's not able to get up yet, he doesn't have enough time to get up yet, or he's stopping to adjust his burden, and he doesn't warn at that time, Rabbi Yochanan says that's not reason enough to be mechayev him, the fact that he didn't warn, because he's too busy with his situation to be able to warn. Again, like we said, the Rif and most other Rishonim Paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore they would say that there's no specific obligation to warn, there's an obligation to get up. If you're not in a situation where you're able to get up, then you can be potter even though you didn't warn. Nevertheless, if you did warn, then you are going to be potter. On the other hand, we said the Rosh points out, first of all, Rav Nachman Yitzchak is later than Rav Yochanan, and second of all, these answers that the Gemara gave to Fa'en for the Mishnah and the Braisa according to Rav Yochanan are a little bit of a doichet, and therefore he says the halacha ought to be like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and that Amar brings it accordingly. So again, when you're in the case where you have people walking one behind the other and one of them trips, then you have that machlokas between the Rif and the Rosh, and ultimately between the Mechaber and the Ramah, in the case of the person walking in Rosh Hashanah and carrying a beam and then stopping to rest versus to adjust his burden, there the Mechaber just brings, and the Ramah doesn't argue about the distinction we're saying over here between standing to rest versus to uh, to rest versus to adjust his burden. And again, the Smay explains the reason for that is because when a person is adjusting his burden, he's even more distracted than when he fell, and therefore even the Rosh and even the Rosh is not going to say that you expect him to call out a warning at a time like that. Okay. Now, we said that the Braisa that we just quoted about Hakadorin Bahazagogin, about the potters or the glaziers, we said that you have a case where there are three of them, and Reuven tripped first, and then Shimon tripped over him, and Levi tripped over Shimon, and we said each one is chayev for the other one, unless he warned. Whereas we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that would mean they're chayev if they didn't get up. If they didn't get up and didn't give a warning, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, they're not chayev for not getting up, but they are chayev for not giving a warning. But now let's analyze in more detail what exactly is each one chayev for regarding the other one. Now we have to keep in mind this is going to be a little bit of a complex sugya because you have many different gersois and many different explanations among the Rishonim. We'll try to cover as many of them as we can. But we have a few different factors to consider over here. One factor is, first of all, we discussed before whether nitkal pesheya, when a person trips, is he considered careless or not? That makes a difference. There's also the question, what do we consider him when he's lying on the ground over there? Do we consider him to be an odam hamazik, a person who's causing damage, and in that case, he's chayev for any kind of damages to the other person? Or do we consider him a burr, and as we've learned many times, a burr yapotter for kaven when they break? So those are a number of the factors that come into play over here, and because of that, you end up having many different particular dinim that happen over here. So Omar Rav, in fact, Rashi himself, Tosfos quotes a first lashon of Rashi, which we don't have printed in front of us, which agrees with Rabbeinu Chananel. Also, Rabbeinu Chananel has that gusa as well, and Tosfos brings it further on. Rashi, the way we have it printed in front of us, has only his second lashon, so we'll start according to that, and then we'll go back and we'll discuss what Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos and the other Rishonim say. So Omar Rav. Rishin Chayev Benizke Sheni, when we say this is case of the three potters or whatever, Reuven tripped, Shimon tripped over Reuven, and then Levi tripped over Shimon. So Rava says, when the Braisa says the first one is Chayev and the Nezakin of the second one, and the second one and the Nezakin of the third one, it's like this. Rishin Chayev Benizke Sheni, the first one is Chayev, for the Nizakin of the second one, Bein Benizke Gufay, Bein Benizke Mamonai. Whether the Nezak was caused by Reuven's Guf, or whether it was caused by his Mamonai. Meaning, in other words, that Nizke Gufay would mean, in other words, that Shimon tripped over Reuven's actual body. Nizke Mamonai would be that he tripped over one of the pieces of earthenware that fell from Reuven and broke. So the difference is, in other words, if he trips over Reuven's body, then you have Reuven himself is considered an Odom Hamazik. Therefore, he's chayev for Kalim, because by an Odom Hamazik, we don't have any Torah for Kalim. And then Rava is saying, so he's chayev Bein Meniske Mamonai, or whether he tripped over the Mamon of Reuven, meaning the broken pieces of earthenware. Either way, Rashi explains that Rava over here is taking the view that Nitkal Pesheyahu, which we said before, is the opinion of Rameyer. Now, we had a couple of days ago, we had Abaya saying Nitkal Lav Pesheyahu, that Abaya was saying that, no, when a person trips, it's not considered Pesheya, it's considered an Oines, and that has consequences, as far as we said, when he drops his jug and his water spills, is he chayev for the resulting Nizokin, etc. So now, Rashi learns that, no, Rava is disagreeing with that, and saying that Nitkal is Persheya. So therefore, the Gemara actually is going to ask about that, but the Gemara is going to explain that Rava's idea is based on the concept of Nitkal Persheya. That's the Gemara's initial assumption. So therefore, Reuven, who tripped in the first place, is a Persheya. So if Shimon tripped over his body, then he's chayev for everything because he's an Odom Hamazik. If Shimon, that's we say, Rishon Chayev Beniske Sheni Bein Beniske Gufay Bein Beniske Mamonai means if Shimon tripped over Reuven's Mamon, meaning one of those pots that Reuven dropped, then that part is considered a bur, and therefore he's chayev for the guf. Therefore, Reuven is chayev for Shimon's guf if Shimon himself gets injured, but not for his kalim, because a bur, we know you're potter from kalim. Then continues Rava, sheni chayev b'nizke shlishi b'nizke gufay avoloi b'nizke mamonim. However, the second one, Shimon, is going to be chayev on Levi only for nizke gufay, only for what was caused by Levi tripping over his own body, but not for the nizakim that were caused by Shimon tripping over his kalim, because the second one is not a pesheya anymore. The second one tripped over the first one. Again, we're talking about, like we said before, where the first one short stopped and didn't warn him. So therefore, so now Shimon is definitely an onus, and therefore, for his guf. So when Levi trips over Shimon's guf, sure, you can be mechayev him for either his guf or his kalim, because then he himself is an odom amazik, and by an odom amazik, we don't care whether it was an onus or not, odom mor la'olam and all that. But when it comes to if Levi trips over Shimon's keli, then already that keli is considered, that keli is not even considered a bur, because after all, as the Gemara is going to say, he can say, look, it's not my fault that this bur exists over there. I tripped. It was an onus in the first place, and therefore you can't be machai of me at all for this bur, because I didn't really create this bur. In effect, you can say Reuven created it. Or maybe you could even say, I mean, in a sense, neither of us created it. Reuven is only a grumma, and I myself was onus. So Rava is saying, when we say Reuven is chayiv and Shimon is nezakim, according to this first lashon of Rava, we're going to have another lashon later on, then we're saying the first one would be chayiv, that Reuven would be chayiv, if Shimon trips over his body, then he's chayiv for everything. And if Shimon trips over his pot, then he's only chayev for guf, but not kalim, because that would be a bur. Meanwhile, the second one, Shimon, would be chayev for Levi. Again, if Levi trips over him, he's chayev for guf or kalim, but if Levi trips over his kalim, then he'd be potter from everything. That's what he says. Avoloi v'nizki mamonim. So the Gemara asks, mamonafshach. Either way you look at it, Rava seems to be inconsistent. In nitka pesheahu, if you say that a person trips is considered a pesheya, like we said, like the mayor holds, sheni nami v'chayev. Then the second one, then Shimon should also be chayev, because he also was careless. Fine, was saying that Reuven should have warned him and all that. But the same way as Reuven himself first tripped over something in Rosh Hashanah Abim, where he didn't have any warning, and yet the mayor considers him pesheya. So the same way the second one, he also didn't have any warning, but still he should have looked where he's going, realized that Reuven had short stopped or fallen in this case, and stopped. And if he didn't, then we should consider him pesheya as well. So he should have exactly the same chiyuvim as Reuven. And on the other hand, if we say that somebody who trips is not considered a pesheya, then even the first one ought to be potter, because he himself, when he fell, it was an onus rather than pshia. So why is Rava distinguishing and saying, why is Rava distinguishing between tripping over Reuven versus tripping over Shimon and making Shimon less chayel? Again, where we said that the nafkamina would be if Levi tripped over Shimon's pot, or Shimon's broken pieces of his pot, and you're telling us, says Rava, that Shimon is going to be potter for anything that happened to Levi, regardless of whether his body or his kalim were injured by it. Why is that? So the Gemara says the difference is Rishon Vade Pesheahu, because the first one definitely is a Pesheah, because, yeah, if we're going to say Nitkal Pesheahu, the first one, no question, is a Pesheah. Because what is he doing? He should have watched where he's going, that he doesn't trip over something. So on the other hand, Shani, when it comes to the second one, when it comes to Shimon, Agufoy Mechayev, sure, you can be Mechayev him for somebody tripping over his body, because he should have stood up and he didn't, like we said before, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Amamone Potter, the reason why he can be Potter, if Levi trips over his mamon, is the Omele, because he can say, Hai Beira Lava Nokirise, because he can say, look, I didn't dig this burr. In other words, what caused that my pot fell in the first place and created an obstacle for you that you fell over was for me. It was an onus. My falling was an onus. So therefore, and now, And furthermore, I'm mafkir these broken pieces. And as we've learned before, we discussed a couple of days ago whether a person is mafkir nezakav. We're going to discuss soon in the Gemara again, according to Rav versus Shmuel, whether you're mafkir or not, whether that patters you from anything. But everybody agreed. We said there that if you fell by onus and then you're mafkir the nezakin, then for sure you're patter. Well, then that's a reason to patter the second one. That's the reason to patter Shimon for Levi tripping over his broken pots, because he's saying, look, I'm after them and I didn't drop them by Pshia in the first place. I dropped them by Oinus. So therefore you can't be Machayev. So that would explain why there's this difference between Reuven and Shimon. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction though. We said a Braisa had said, now on Omer Aleph, we learned a Braisa about this Kadorin Mizagogin. We have these potters and these glaziers who are walking one behind the other. Now you have another Braisa that clarifies that earlier Braisa and says, Kulan Chayovan on Nizke Gufan. All of them are chayav for the Nizokim of their body, which on the face of it means Nizokim that are caused by their body, by the other guy tripping over their body, Upturin al Nizke Mamainim, but they're potter for the Nizokim of their Mamain. Now, when we say kulon bepashtus, that means all of them. My lava filorishon. Wouldn't that mean even the first one is potter for the nezakin of his money? So that, now, how could that work out? That would require us to say that even the first one is considered onus. We would say nikka lav kosheyahu. And therefore we would say that again, when he drops his kalim and they break and they create a hazard in Rosh Hashanah, he has every right to say, look, it fell from me by onus because I was a nitkal and nitkal lav kosheyahu. Therefore, I have the right to be mafkir it, and now you can't hold me responsible for it. So, and the Braisa seems to be saying that, but Rava was not saying that. Rava was saying that if Shimon trips over Reuven's broken pot, then Reuven is chayav. Why? So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. Maybe the Braisa doesn't mean all of them. It means Levar Merishin. When it says Kulam, it means all of them. It means all of them except for the first one. The Gemara says, well, Kulam, Katani, what do you mean? It says all of them. All of them means all of them, including the first one. The answer is Amar Rabba Abba Abba, Kulan Hanizokin. You could say, says Rabba Abba Abba, the word Kulan means all the ones who were injured or damaged by others. Reuven himself, of course, has been hurt by his fall, and his pots were broken, but he has nobody else to blame it on, and he just, you know, he himself didn't look where he was going. Well, the Nizokin, the ones who are going to be entitled to go to Beis Din and recover something for their losses, so there, we can say the word Kulam means all of them, so therefore, yes, the word Kulam does exclude Reuven, because Kulam means all the ones who are Nizokin and who have something to go to Beis Din for. But the Gemara says, hi, my, what kind of an argument is that? How can you say that? If you say that the word kulam does in fact include all of them, including the first one, well then the loshen works out. Then when the Braisa uses the word kulam, is very well chosen, because yeah, it means all the three people who are involved in this situation. But if you're saying it means except for the first one, my kulam, why use the word kulam, which would be misleading and make you think that it means the first one as well? Listen, hanizokin. Instead of using the word kulam, it could say hanizokin, which is also one word, and that would make it clear that you mean only Shimon and Levi, and not including Reuven. So therefore, you can't say that the Braisa is telling us that there's a different din with the first one versus the second and the third. If it used the word hanizokin, then yes, but since it uses the word kulam, when instead it could just as easily have used the word hanizokin, then no, that seems to show. The Braisa is saying that all of them have the same din. Reuven and Shimon and Levi all have the same din in terms of being chayev for Niske Gufan and Potter for Niske Mamonim. And that doesn't fit with what Rava said, that the first one is chayev for Niske Mamonim. So we can't accept that Loshon of Rava. So the Gemara says, Ela Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says, no, we have to learn things differently. We have to say like this. When Rava made the distinction between Gufoy and Mamonai, all this time we were thinking that Rava means the Gufoy and Mamonai of the first one, meaning what did Shimon trip over of Reuven's, and what did Levi trip over Shimon's? The Guf of Reuven, or the tripping over the Guf of Reuven versus tripping over the Mamon of Reuven. Now Rava is going to say that, no, when we say gufoy and mamonoi, we're referring to the guf and the mamon of the nizek, of the one who was, of the one who was damaged by the other. So Rava says like this, it means like this. Rishon, the first one, where again he's chayev because he didn't get up and because he didn't give a warning to tell the other guy to stop. Therefore, chayev ben miniski gufoy desheni or ben miniski mamonoi desheni. Then he's going to be chayev if he's going to be chayev whether in the guf or in the mamon of the second one. Meaning, in other words, that so now we're going to change. Now we're going to change. Now we're going to say in the second version of Rava that nitkal is in fact not pesheya. We're going to agree that nitkal is oynes. So therefore, so now that makes a difference between what did Shimon trip over, his body or his kalim. His kalim, he can be mafkir. And once he's mafkir, then after having fallen ba'onus, then we're saying that he's potter, because then we're saying that he's potter, because he fell ba'onus, and he's able to be mafkir, his nezakim. On the other hand, his body, first of all, he's obviously not mafkir, his body, but more to the point, his body is considered an odom hamazik, and an odom more the olam, and therefore he's chayiv regardless. So now, in the second Lashon, Rava is going to say that Ruben, therefore Rishon, Chayev ben Miniski guf desheni or ben Miniski mamoni desheni. If Shimon tripped over his guf, then he's going to be Chayev for Shimon's guf as well as for Shimon's kalim. Because after all, they tripped over him, and he's an Odom HaMazik, and he's Chayev regardless. On the other hand, Shimon, when Levi trips over him, again, Shimon not having gotten up fast enough or not having called out a warning to Levi, he's going to be chayev for any nezakim involving Levi's guf, but not involving his kalim at all. So in other words, even if Levi tripped over Shimon's body and his kalim broke, nevertheless, Shimon will be chayev for any of Levi's injuries, but he'll be potter for his kalim. And if they trip over either one's kalim, they're going to be potter, because either way, the kalim are a burr, and since they fell by onus and they're master, and we assume they're master the broken pieces, then therefore he's potter on the grounds of having been master. Because my time at the Havalei burr, because Rava argues, Reuven, fine, you can say his body is considered an Odom HaMazik. But Shimon's body, where he fell because of Reuven, therefore you can't consider his body to be an Odom HaMazik anymore. You consider his body to be a burr. Now, it's a burr that he still keeps possession of, because obviously he's not mafkir his body. So unlike his earthenware, which is mafkir, there we say that's different, but his body is a burr. You never find that a burr, you chayev for kalim, as we've discussed many times already, because since the pasuk says, v'nafal shama shor el chamer, then we learn from that you put around kalim that fall and break in a burr. So now, Rava is saying that if they fell, so if either one of them, so in short, according to the second Lashon, if anybody trips over the kalim of the previous one, then they're potter, because we're saying all of them were onus by falling, and once they're onus, and once they're mafkir their kalim, then you can't be machayev them for anything that happens with that anymore. When they tripped over the body, then there's a difference. Reuven's body is going to be considered an Odom HaMazik. Shimon's body, where he fell because more of an onus, is going to be considered, yes, the first one is Nitka Lav Hoshea, but still not to the extent of full onus. Therefore, you can be Mechayev him as an Odom HaMazik for people tripping over his body, as opposed to Shimon is more of an onus, and therefore he himself is considered like a burr, and therefore he's potter for Kalim as well. So much different than the first Lashon. In the first Lashon, we would say, in the first Lashon, we said that Reuven is going to be chayev if Shimon tripped over his body, is going to be chayev for both Guf and Kalim. Fine, that remains the same in the second one, but everything else is going to be different. If Levi trips over Shimon's body in the first version, we're still Machayev Shimon for both the Guf and the Kalim, because we're saying his body is still considered Odom HaMazik. In the second version, we're calling him a Bur, therefore he's Chayev only for the Guf. Meanwhile, if they tripped over the Kalim in Rava's first version, then you Machayev him only for the Guf. You Machayev him only for the Guf of the other guy, because the Kalim themselves are considered a bird that he was mafkir, and Shimon's would be altogether potter, and in the second version we're saying both of them would be potter. But the Gemara says, fine, so far so good, but Hanicha L'Shmuel, this understanding of Rava works out, according to Shmuel, drama kol takola berhu, where Shmuel had said, we learned at the beginning of the parak, that any time a person puts some kind of obstacle in Rosh Hashanah, whether he still retains ownership or whether he was mafkaret, either way, it's considered a ber. So therefore, we can say that now Shimon's body, therefore, can be considered a ber. A person is not mafkaret his body. Doesn't matter. According to Shmuel, doesn't matter whether he retains ownership of it or not. So Shmuel is going to say, therefore, when he was mafkaret after he fell ba'onus, then fine, you can patter him. But when Shmuel is going to say whether if he wasn't mafkaret, then if he's not mafkaret, then you're considering it a burr, fine, he's not mafkir his body, therefore his body can be considered a burr. Reuven's not, because Reuven, we're saying, is not a full-fledged onus by tripping, but Shimon is. Ela l'Rav, but according to Rav, where we also learned in that sugya, the Omar, where he said, e afkir ein v'iloi loi, Rav had said that only if a person is mafkir, what he dropped in Rosh Hashanah, only then is he chayiv because of burr. If he wasn't mafkir it, then not, then it's not bur, then it's mamoina, meaning that Rav, we said, was more machmer. Again, a bur, we said, is potter for kalim. Mamoina would be chayev for kalim, the same way as if your shur goes and damages somebody else's kalim, you're chayev, because your shur is your mamon. The same way Rav would say, if you were not machmer, what you dropped in Rosh Hashanah or what you put in Rosh Hashanah, then you're going to be chayev for it as mamoina. Well, then ma'ikalameima. Then how are you going to explain it? According to Rava, why is that? Then how would we explain Rava as saying that there's a distinction between Reuven and Shimon in our case of the people who trip? Because Shimon is not makir his body, so it shouldn't be considered a bird. It should be considered Odom HaMazik, and Odom HaMazik is going to be chayev for kalim as well. So how does Rava's understanding fit according to that? Now, of course, the Gemara could easily say that Rava is disagreeing with Rav. Look, he's an Amora, he's allowed to. But the Gemara wants to find that, no, what Rava is saying would work according to both of them, according to both Rav and Shmuel. So therefore, the Gemara says, La'olam k'da'ama mi'ikra. Actually, we're going to go back to Rava's original understanding, that we're going to say that Reuven was Peshea by tripping, and Shimon is an onus. So we said, what about the Braisa that said that they're all chayiv for Niske Gufan and Potter for Niske Mamoinam? So it would kash loch kulon chayavim. So you were asking because the Braisa had said all of them are chayiv for Niske Gufan and Potter for Niske Mamoinam, and you were bothered by the point that kulon on the face of it means all of them, because if it just meant Shimon and Levi, it would have said Nizokin. The answer is, Tirgam out of Adab Aman Yumi, Kamedir Avina, Shohuzku Kalim Bekalim. Rav Ada Bamanyumi explained it in front of Ravina that the Braisa is talking about where the kalim of where Shimon's kalim were damaged by Shimon tripping over Reuven's kalim. Because in other words, with the kalim, the broken kalim, definitely it's a matter of burr. So in other words, and we said all along, even in Rava's first lashon, where we said nitkal peshea, we still said that if Shimon trips over Reuven's broken kalim, where Reuven was mafkir them, where again he has the right to be mafkir them because he himself fell, it wasn't a total pshia, there was a certain degree of onus in it, and therefore if his kalim caused damage to another person's kalim, then he's potter because that's burr. Well, then that's what it means. So that's what the braisa means. Kulon, when the braisa had said kulon chayav mamniske gufan. All of them are chayiv from niske gufan, turn on niske mamonim. What we mean is kulam, we're not focusing on when somebody trips over their body, we're focusing on when somebody trips over their kalim. Even Reuven, if Shimon trips over his kalim and breaks his own, then Reuven is going to be potter for Shimon's kalim, because to begin with, Shimon fell over a burr, and a burr is, whether you say that Reuven is able to be mafkir or not, doesn't matter. Either way, it's definitely not gufa, it's obviously a burr, and therefore you're chayiv, and with a burr, you're only chayiv for guf, you're not chayiv for kalim. So you could make Rava's first lashon work together with the Braisa. And therefore, you don't have to. So according to Rashi, that's how the Gemara stands. It comes out then, according to Rashi, that Rava's din is based on the concept of nitkal peshea. Now, if we say then that in the end the halacha is that nitkal lav peshea, then it would mean that this whole discussion of Rava wouldn't be alibah de hilchase. It wouldn't be the final halacha, because the final halacha would be nitkal pishet, would be nitkal oinasu, and therefore we would have to have a different, therefore we'd have to have different dinim. Now, this is all according to Rashi's second explanation, which is actually the only explanation that we have printed in front of us in the Gemara. Tosfos brings that Rashi had a first explanation, which also Rabbi Hananel had that girsa as well. Namely, in the second version, to begin, it's the other way around. In the second version, we begin with the assumption that we would say that both of them are considered onus for tripping. According to that girsa and explanation of Rabbi Hananel and Rashi's first explanation, then we'd say the first one is chayev for the first one is chayev for the nizakin of the guf or the kalim of the second one, meaning if they tripped over his guf. But to begin with, even right at the beginning, the Gemara knows that if they tripped over his mammon, he's going to be potter, because his mammon is going to be a burr and a burr and he can say that even he in the beginning can say it's not my burr and I it's not my fault that I dropped it because I was earnest and I'm masculine and therefore I'm potter for it. So in the first version of Rava, we would say Reuven is chayev. If they trip over his body, Reuven is chayev for Shimon's guf and kalim. Now, if Levi trips over Shimon's body, then he's going to be chayev only for guf, not for kalim. Different than Rashi's understanding, where in Rava's first version, Shimon is chayev for the kalim as well, if they trip over his body, because we consider him an Odom HaMazik. Here we're saying that even in the first Lashon, we consider Shimon to be only a bird. Then comes the second Lashon, where we're saying that you're never going to be chayev for kalim at all. Even if we say Nitkal Peshea, we're still going to say that they're all considered a bur and they're all potter for Kalim. Now, according to Rabbi Hananel, the Gemara is not actually going back to Rava's first Lashon. It's rather giving us a modified version of Rava's first Lashon. Here in the Gemara, we had that La'olam Kedomah Me'ikra. In fact, we're going back to the original understanding. According to Rashi, we literally are. There's only two Lashonis. We did the first one. We thought we rejected it. We went to the second one. We said it doesn't work according to Rav. And then we went back to the first one. According to Rabbi Hananel, we actually have now a third Lashon of Rava, which is a modification of the first one. Namely, each one of them is going to be chayev for guf or kalim if they tripped over him, because either way, he himself is considered an odom amazik, regardless whether we consider him hesheya or oynas for falling. Either way, he's considered an odom amazik. Therefore, he's chayev for both guf and kalim. If you trip over his kalim, then the first one is pesheya. Therefore you're chayev even for tripping over his kalim. You're chayev for guf. Shimon is going to be potter because for sure he's an onus and he was mafkir. So that's according to Rabbi Hananel's explanation. Then you have a number of other explanations among the Rishonim. The Rif understands that Rava is saying that everybody agrees that Nitkal Onus, and still he could have stood up, but we're still being Machai of him because he's an Odom HaMazik, and then we have to be talking about where he wasn't Machkirit. The Baal Amor explains that we're following the opinion that Nitkal Peshea, but he says that his body itself becomes a burr, and you have the Rosh has yet another understanding of Tosfos. So it comes out in short that you have a lot of different cases over here, and you have like this. When Guf tripped over and was injured by Guf, no question, everybody says that they're all chayev, because, like we said in the Gemara, they still should have stood up. When you have mammon damaged by falling over the guf, or guf injured by falling over mammon, or mammon damaged by falling over mammon, then you have the different opinions of the Rishonim, what happens over here. Lamaskana, Rashi is going to say that if they tripped over the guf, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, you're going to be chayev regardless. Even though it's only the mammon that got damaged, because we go back to the original understanding. And according to the Rif, it's going to depend the first one in there versus the second one. And according to the Baal Amor, they're both going to be potter. And according to the Rosh explaining Tosfos, you're going to depend Rameir versus the Chachamim. Then you have nizke guf when you're in the tripped over, when you tripped over the mummon and your guf got damaged, then you're going to have the difference that, according to Rava, you're going to be saying he's chayiv regardless, but that may not be the halacha because in the end we say that nitka was not pesheya. So if it was machkuret, then, so if it was machkuret, he'd be potter. And the second one, we potter regardless, except according to the Baal Amor. And then nizke mummon be mummon, then they're going to say they're potter, and according to Rav, you would distinguish whether they were machkuret or not. So you have a lot of different opinions within this one little piece of Gemara, what the final halacha is. The snare, by the way, brings the snare who wrote the Rabbi Yeshua Falek, his name was. He was the grandson of the Pnei Yeshua, the grandfather, I mean, of the Pnei Yeshua. He wrote the commentary Prisha and Drisha on tour, and then he started writing a Pirush on Shulchan Aruch called Sefer Meir Seinayim, Smer for short, and he passed away after finishing only Choshen Mishpat. Anyway, he points out in his introduction that this kind of thing helps explain why Hashem originally gave Torah Shebaal Peh, Baal Peh. Why didn't Hashem to begin with write, tell Moshe to write down Torah Shebaal Peh? And he says, because you look at, when you have something written down, you always have, it's impossible to completely explain in a way that nobody else can misunderstand what you wrote, especially if you have different gusos before printing and all. So there, and he gives an example from Hilchos, from a simple din in Hilchos Lulav, where you have so many different, opinions about a particular din in Hilchos Lulav, even though it's a relatively straightforward halacha, how much more so in other cases. So our case over here is a good example of what the Smeh is talking about, where you have one little piece of Gemara over here, and you wind up with so many different opinions of what exactly it means. In other words, the point is, back when it was learned Baal Peh, then a Talmud would learn this din from his Rebbe, and he would ask his Rebbe face to face, clarify for me what exactly happens by guf tripping over guf, what exactly happens by guf tripping over mammon, etc. In each of the cases, the first one versus the second one, and the Rebbe would explain it to him. Whereas now, when we only have it in writing and we can't go back and consult with the Chachmei HaGemara and with Rashi and with the Baal Amor and so forth to find out what they meant, then you have this inherent uncertainty. Ultimately also, you know, when we say in davening, this is something to have in mind during it, that we have all this uncertainty and we have all these different opinions because we don't have a Sanhedrin to make the final decision. Once we do, once the Sanhedrin is reestablished, then we go to them and they're going to decide among all these different opinions and give us a clear and unambiguous psak halacha. Okay. To finish up the Gemara, Omamar, so we said, let's analyze one more point in the Braisa. We said, Im machmas rishin naflu, if they all fell because of the first one, rishin chayev b'nizke kulam, then he's chayev in the nezakim of all of them. So the question is, machmas rishin heichi naflu, what does that mean that they all fell because of the first one? If you just mean the regular case that we were talking about until now, where Reuven fell and then Shimon tripped over him and then Levi tripped over Shimon, you can't call all that machmas rishon because Reuven is only a grama relative to Levi. So here the Braisa seems to be trying to find a case for us where Reuven is directly chayav for all of them. What is that case? So the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar de paskila urcha kashilda. Rav Papa says we're talking about where he blocks the entire road like a carcass. So shilder, Rashi explains, is an Aramaic word meaning a body or a carcass. In modern Hebrew, they use it to mean a skeleton. So whatever, he's blocking the entire road end to end. So therefore, so now he can be chayav for all of them because every one of them tripped because of him. The Rambam brings, for example, let's say, in other words, you have a few people walking by. So Reuven fell by and tripped and is lying across the whole Rosh Hashanah. And now one guy is walking on one side of Rosh Hashanah and trips on his head. And the other guy is walking a few feet away and trips over his feet. That's what we would mean. And one guy in the middle, let's say, trips over his stomach. So we can say Reuven is chayav for all of them because they all fell because of him. Rav Zvid Omek, a chutra, the Samyusa, Rav Zvid says it's like a stick that a blind person uses, where sometimes he's feeling his way around, and sometimes he extends his stick across the whole street. So the same way over here we're talking about that the body is extending across the whole Rosh Hashanah. So then you can be Mechayev Reuven for what happened to all of them. Now, is Rav Zvid arguing with Rav Papa? Tosfos says that yes. Tosfos says, Rav Zvid would say that no, if he's just lying across the road, straight across it, then no, because as soon as Shimon trips and falls, Levi should notice that and should stop. On the other, what do we mean over here when Rav Zvi says the chutur to Sam Yosef? Tosfos says it's talking about that he's lying across the road at an angle. So what can happen is, in other words, that so Shimon is walking, and trips over Reuben's head. Meanwhile, Reuben's feet are further back than Rosh Hashanah because he's lying at an angle, and therefore Levi is walking and doesn't notice and trips. I think what Tosfos means is the other way around. So Shimon trips over the head, which is lying closer to the direction that they're walking from, and then Levi, who's walking a little bit ahead, and therefore has no reason to notice Shimon, because he's slightly ahead, he ends up tripping over the feet, which are lying further out in Rosh Hashanah, because Reuben is lying on a diagonal. So in other words, according to Tosfos, Rav Zvid is actually arguing with Rav Papa, and saying that only in that case can we be mechayev Reuben for all of them, but not if he's lying straight across. On the other hand, many Rishonim hold that there's no actual difference between them, and they say that, the Rambam and other Rishonim say that there's no real argument. They're just expressing it in different ways. The Nimuka Yosef on Rif brings a couple of other possibilities. What it means kechutur de samyusa. One of them he says is you can be talking about, for example, that the person is a blind person takes a stick and is flailing around to find his way. So he also kechutur de samyusa means the guy's not just laying over there; he's actually flailing his arms and legs like to try to get up, and therefore there's more and making it more likely that people are going to trip over him. So again, different ways of explaining over here, Rav Papa versus Rav Zvid, whether in fact they're arguing or whether they're just expressing the same thing in different words.
Shkoyach, everyone.